U.S. government agencies have to keep a public registry as they move to incorporate powerful artificial intelligence tools into their work. When the Monitor asked the Health and Human Services Department about one such tool to vet immigrant children's sponsors, information about it disappeared from the registry, and the agency has not explained why. Sarah Matusik and Aaron Glantz report. Among our other stories today, we visit a secret drone factory in Ukraine that's allowing the government to strike deeper into Russia. Young workers in many developed nations are struggling to find jobs. And in South Africa, frustrations with the government and lack of opportunity are bubbling over into growing anti-immigrant sentiment. It's Wednesday, July 29th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. President Donald Trump met separately with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The visitors were in Washington for a funeral service for Senator Lindsey Graham, who died July 11th. Seeking to keep the U.S. president engaged in the Iran war, Mr. Netanyahu reportedly presented Mr. Trump with evidence that Tehran has restarted its nuclear activity. Mr. Zelensky's rocky relationship with the White House turned upward at a meeting the two leaders held on the sidelines of the NATO summit in June. He sought on Tuesday to move forward a deal that would allow Ukraine to produce Patriot air defense interceptors. Public approval of the U.S. Supreme Court hit a record low. According to a Gallup survey conducted in July, only 33% of Americans approve of the court's work. The decline has been driven by Republicans, with their approval of the court's performance dropping from 79% in September last year to 58% in July this year. The High Court issued several decisions this year that rankled conservatives, including striking down key Trump administration policies on global tariffs and reinterpreting birthright citizenship. Approval of the court has been sharply polarized since about 2010. Also, the United Nations marked the 75th anniversary of its Refugee Convention. The treaty was signed in July 1951 with the principle that people forced to flee persecution, conflict, or violence must be able to find safety and protection. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees says it has helped people fleeing conflict around the world. A total of 149 states are parties to either the Refugee Convention or its 1967 Protocol. Its latest campaign calls on governments, organizations, and individuals to renew their commitments to protecting people. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Federal law and Trump administration rules lay out transparency requirements for the U.S. government's use of artificial intelligence. When the Monitor asked about one tool designed to vet immigrant children's sponsors, information about it disappeared. Sarah Matusik and Aaron Glantz report for the Monitor. The story of the Ukraine war this summer has been the shift, on the battlefield and in the adversaries' minds, wrought by Ukraine's drone strikes deep into Russia. The goal is to end the war, to pave a path to a diplomatic resolution. Scott Peterson reports from Dnipro, Ukraine, for the Monitor. The slowdown in hiring in many developed nations has left young people struggling to find work, but some major U.S. firms are rethinking staffing strategies. Laurent Belsey and contributors Curry Engel and Takahiko Kambayashi Report from Boston, London, and Tokyo for The Monitor. As the world marks the 75th anniversary of the UN Refugee Convention on July 28th, South Africa is grappling painfully with familiar questions about migration and belonging. Contributor Julie Burden reports from Johannesburg for The Monitor. At a time when children are spending more hours indoors scrolling on their digital devices, Seattle has embraced a simple concept: give the streets back to kids. Contributor Marina Lopez reports from Seattle for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on finding liberty in a Chinese prison. One inspiring story in 2026 so far has been the unexpected release of a prominent religious leader in China by the country's anti-religion regime. After spending 266 days in prison, Ezra Jin Mingri, the Christian pastor of the underground Zion Church in Beijing, arrived in the United States on July 5th. He and his family have since given two reasons for his sudden freedom. The first is that Mr. Jin's release was a result of prayer by many people around the world. "Thank you so much for everyone's support and prayers. We truly witnessed a miracle, and we are feeling so overwhelmed with joy," his family wrote in a statement. The second was less spiritual, but perhaps the outcome of all those prayers. After citing the miracle of his newfound liberty, Mr. Jin credited a personal plea for his release by President Donald Trump during a May summit with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Last week, the pastor told the Associated Press that Mr. Trump's unique diplomacy had results. Most news reports ran with that second reason, diplomacy. Yet now Mr. Jin is calling for more prayers to free other imprisoned Chinese Christians, as well as similarly oppressed religious minorities, including Tibetan Buddhists and Muslim Uyghurs. "My earnest prayer is that my release can mark the beginning of a new chapter for people of faith in China," he wrote in the Wall Street Journal. In the U.S., for now, Mr. Jin might find a receptive ear among most Americans for the unseen spiritual power that prayer evokes. A 2023 survey found that more than 80% of adults in the U.S. believe there is a spiritual or supernatural dimension to the world. About three-quarters believe in God or a higher power and express a desire to grow spiritually. A later survey found that a similar portion of Americans report praying weekly. A majority in our midst are open to tapping more deeply into their spiritual life, concluded David Kinneman, chief executive officer of Barna Group, which conducted the surveys. During his nine-month captivity, Mr. Jin says he found that God gave him the strength for victory. "Even in the abyss, our hearts still look toward God's temple," he wrote in a letter from prison in November. His meekness, Mr. Jin preaches obedience to secular authority, attests to a spiritual reality rarely reported by a news media focused mainly on the mere physical. Yet his tale reveals another realm of thought capable of healing and reconciliation. As he wrote, citing a letter by the Apostle Paul, "God works all things together for good to those who love him." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how opening our hearts to the spiritual truth of being brings peace to threatening situations. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Madara Odoakong, and Noel Flatt.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.